We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I could still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month, with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels, with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to us. You send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get those stories into us. If you enjoy the program, leave us a positive review. That helps us grow the show on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it may be that they allow you to leave a review. I know some places you can't even do it, but in places you can, it is greatly appreciated. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's the last day of school today.
Yeah, it is.
For our little ones. And how was your did she ride the bus?
She rode the bus.
Yeah,
home.
Yeah. That's always fun. The last day of school.
Yeah.
Riding the bus. Well, that, and you picked up our older one.
Uh-huh.
Libby, and how was the last day of school?
She came home in good spirits.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything to complain about. They were both almost in tears this morning,
though, yeah,
getting to school, because they both really like school, like their friends,
mm-hmm,
like their teachers,
sure,
and weren't really ready for the year to be over, which, you know, I'm thankful for that right now, because I know that won't be the case every year.
Yeah.
But she's doing good. I think, you know, she's got a way to communicate with her friends, so it's,
yeah,
not as big of a deal.
Yeah, you know, you think of that back in when we were kids, it was pretty much either you had to get together.
Yeah,
really,
you
did. In summer. Otherwise, there was no, it was just kind of like, you know, dead air.
Yeah.
You know, no communication until the next school year. And then it's always funny, like over the, especially at that age, where what age would you say was the most dramatic between end of school and then getting back to school at the end of summer, just as far as like your friends and how they looked, you know, almost,
yeah,
like, and it was really portrayed well in that
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say, you know, I think he was spot on. I think between the end of sixth grade, beginning of seventh,
yeah,
was when I really noticed the guys seemed to get taller,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, the girls had kind of stopped growing for the most part about sixth grade, but we were no longer taller than all the boys.
Sure.
Which was nice.
It was like, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm,
we're not quite there yet. We got six we're going into,
yeah,
this next year. But yeah, it's getting to that age where it's like, oh my goodness.
I think by this time next year, she'll be as tall as me.
I agree. She's almost there now.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I found it kind of, I think I was more like, kind of emotional at the end of Harp's preschool today because she's going to a different building next year. Mm-hmm. So it was, and it was a really good preschool. There were really, she loved her teachers. She loves her friends. And I just remember like my preschool. I loved my preschool and have so many like positive memories of it. And I think she will too.
Yeah.
Of this. And it was just like, when they shut down, they shut down. I mean, you know,
it's all picked up.
It was completely picked up. I mean, just the other day, it's like everything's still completely active. You wouldn't even know it was the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
And then like I went in there today to get her and like all the lights are off and there's just a few kids left in this one room.
Right.
and like everything, like all the bulletin boards that are also, you know, happy and shiny and of this and that is gone.
Right.
It's like, oh my gosh, like, this is really kind of sad. And, you know, and then she goes and gives her teachers all, you know, big hugs. And, you know, it was just like, and she's like, okay, Dan, it's time for us to go. Like, she was like the kind of like, okay. And so you want to take one more look at your preschool? You
she's
know,
the adult.
She was.
Yeah.
She was. And she's like, thank you, preschool. And then she goes. She's like a movie child sometimes where it's like, yeah. Okay, here's scripted what you should say to
you
make
can't write this stuff.
Let's make the moment really emotional.
Right.
And, it was just like, you know, it's kind of like I remember leaving preschool, but I don't know. I was happy to get out of school. Mm-hmm. When we were done, even preschool, which I did love, but even the end of the year, it was like, all right, summer, you know. And it's one of those things where I'm thankful our kids love school to the point where they're like, I'm going to really miss this. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing, I think. And rather than the thank God I get to get away.
Well, and I'm just thankful for that being this year. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, who knows? And
it changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. Well, there you go. It's the end of the school year. Good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I was actually just listening to one of your past podcasts, and you guys talked about real ghost stories. This is dating back to when I was just like a 8-9-year-old kid. We lived in an apartment with me and my mom. This is before my sister was born. It started out as my mom would wake up in the middle of the night and she would tell me about how she would see an apparition of a face and a finger going up to the mouth saying, be quiet. You know, my mom didn't really tell me anything about it until maybe about a week later that... Well, my dad and I were playing video games in the hallway. My dad saw fugitive of legs by the hallway closet. And that's where we hung up all our towels and everything. And, you know, my dad asked, did you see that? And I didn't really see anything. I was too focused on playing video games. Well, there would be a couple times where I was in, you know, orchestra. I was just learning violin, you know, because I was in, like, the fourth grade or whatever. And I would... feel like there was something always watching me whenever I was practicing my violin, and it was nuts. It was crazy. There would be countless nights where I wake up and felt like something was watching me from my closet. And when I would wake up, you know, just to get a can of soda, I would also feel like I was being watched or something was following me. And I always got like an uneasy feeling. So when we finally told my Uncle David about this, he burnt some sage and try to help the spirit, you know, be on its way. And he said it could have been past relatives. Well, according to the history of the apartment that we were staying in, it used to be one big house. And it is haunted by a man. It was haunted by a male figure. Now, I don't know if it was a past relative or not, just checking on us, seeing how we're doing. I feel like it was something different, but I don't feel like it was anything unfriendly. I never felt like it was a threat or anything. But it was actually my first experience with the paranormal. And that's pretty much where the story ends.
So there you go.
So his uncle kind of came in and did a cleansing and said it was a male figure.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thinking that maybe the guy that called in was thinking maybe that it was somebody related to them. But I kind of wonder if the uncle might have picked up on that had it been somebody related to them.
You would wonder. You know, it's going to be an uncomfortable situation no matter what if someone's watching you when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Even a living person. It's still uncomfortable. But so it's hard to say, you know, is it family? Is it not family? I think it's an easy thing to jump to if it's kind of an uncomfortable situation to make it, I guess, a little less troubling. Nonetheless, I do wonder if he would have picked up on that or if the uncle thought, you know, that's great. He thinks it's a family member, but I know it may not be. And we're going to cleanse this out of here and not to raise, you know, fears anymore.
Yeah.
You know, by like, it's not your, you know, great uncle or it's something completely different. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is John from Michigan. I wrote you guys probably about a year ago. Told you about my cousin who was talking to a ghost of a little boy who used to live on the property where their trailer park sat. They had their cemetery that they lived behind, which you guys actually used on one of your episodes. So thank you for that. I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to you guys for quite some time now. I absolutely love the show. My story today is actually one that my mom told me not too long ago, and it takes place in January of 1997. I was about 4 years old at the time, so of course I don't remember much, but it actually happened not too long after my uncle on my father's side unexpectedly passed away from complications of pneumonia. And not too long after he passed, my mom was in our kitchen making dinner one night. My dad was at work. I think I was in my room. You know, I was just a little kid. And both my older sisters were downstairs in our basement watching TV. And my mom goes out of the kitchen for a few minutes to do something, and my sisters both come upstairs, turned the TV off, come upstairs, went to their room. My mom come back into the kitchen, continued making dinner. And out of nowhere, she hears our TV in the basement turn all the way up out of nowhere. So, of course, she starts freaking out, screaming down the stairs at my sisters to turn the TV down. And out of nowhere, my sisters both come from upstairs out of their room and tell her that they're not downstairs anymore, that, you know, they had come up a couple minutes earlier, and she had no clue what to even think about it. And I guess around the same time, my mom and dad were both getting phone calls, and they'd answer the phone and there would be no one there. And they would just hang up, and that happened numerous times. And they found out a couple months later that my aunt, from my uncle who had passed away, his wife, was actually having the same thing happen with her phone ringing. She'd answer the phone, and there'd be no one there. So we always wondered to this day whether or not maybe it was my uncle trying to signal that maybe he had passed over to the other side, or, you know, maybe just letting us know that he was there. But, you know, kind of a typical ghost story. Just wonder maybe what you guys have to say about it or what your thoughts are on the matter. And I love your guys' show. I plan on becoming an EPP pretty soon. And, yeah, you guys keep up the good work, and guys take care. Bye.
I wish there was a way to know, other than when they show up and show you who they are, that it is that loved one that you're hoping is saying, oh, I made it to the other side, so just letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's really no way to know that for sure unless they show up in a dream or you see them to know that.
Just to do a more definitive?
Yeah, I know.
Reveal of themselves?
Well, either do that, or I just said there, I just kind of wish there was a way to know if that was them or not.
Sure. What would
everybody seems to assume it is that loved one that just passed.
What would it take? Like, what would be a good defining action or thing that could be done to? Because you're going to have the, well, what if this is something else just taking on that image or mm-hmm. whatnot? What would be something that you would find definitively answering of that question?
For them to say something I know only they would know.
Okay.
But I know that, you know, bad things have a way of knowing that kind of stuff too.
True.
So I don't really know what would convince me.
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I like your thing. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But again, then you're exactly right. Something could know something, and you know. I don't know that there's ever a true way of getting that. I mean, I think it's a personal thing where you just kind of make the peace with it, going, "Yeah, I believe in my heart that this is who it was." Mm-hmm. But I think there's always going to be a little bit of a question there.
Yeah.
No matter what. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, guys. It's Carol Dowd from North Tonawanda, New York, again. I've got a follow-up to the last story that I told about the poltergeist activity and the black mists in my bathroom and how I yelled at the ghost after he threw some stuff at me. And I was not very nice about it. Well, from that time on, for several months, I felt uncomfortable in my house. And it was just getting worse and worse. And because I suffer from mild narcolepsy, my dreams are extremely vivid. And I was having very horrible dreams about me being murdered, my husband, two non-existent daughters, because we don't have any kids. So it was really, really horrible, and they were terribly vivid and just scared the hell out of me, really. So I got kind of sick of it, and instead of addressing myself to whatever it is that lived here, I called my friend up from school, and I'll use a fake name since I don't know if he'd want me to use it or not for him and his friend. We'll use Bob and Sally. I called Bob up, and he said, sure, I'll come over and sage the house. And can I bring Sally with me? And I said, sure, go ahead. Sally, it turns out, is an empath and a medium. So, they came over on my birthday. It was a birthday present to myself. And they saged the house. And when I started telling the story of what was going on, Sally said, gee, I just heard a sigh coming from the top of the cellar stairs. And I said, what did it sound like? And she just said, I don't know if you got that or not. But it sounded, I said, oh, it sounds exactly like something I'd hear. Here we go again. You know, that sort of thing. And so I told him the story. I told him of my experiences and things that had happened. She didn't like it that none of the stuff in our house was new. It had come from the old house, which was a haunted house. That was the first thing I ever wrote in, was about my haunted house that I lived in. So, I said, but there's really been no problem. We've lived here since 2003, so there really hasn't been any problem until lately. And she says, well, it is a man, and he is angry about something. She says, I don't know what, but he's angry about something. I don't know what he could be angry about. Maybe that I yelled at him or something. I don't know. But, you know, don't throw shit at me, because that's not proper behavior if you're going to exist in my house. So anyways, and don't scare me by being a black mist in my bathroom. Jeez, you know, that's just not right. So they saved the house. and they put holy water and salt around the doorways. And she said you might hear, you know, a little bit of activity, but she said it should be, everything should be gone and out of here. So they left, and about 3 or 4 hours later after they left, it was about 9 o'clock at night, I hear this enormous, like, banging sort of noise on my back door. And it sounded like a body was, like, thrown against it. You know, all those different noises of different limbs hitting the door as it was thrown in. So it was just really, and I'm like, I'm not going out there to find out what the hell that was. All I know is I live in a good neighborhood, and that kind of thing is not a normal activity. So I'm just thinking maybe I was trying to get back in and couldn't because of the holy water and the salt, and so I was apprehensive the very first day afterwards, but I wasn't uncomfortable. I said some prayers and stuff, and so far there's been nothing going on here, nothing at all, and it's been great. I haven't had any weird nightmares. You know, I still dream vividly, but nothing bad. And so cool, I guess it worked. They said, you know, if there's anything else weird going on, to just call them back and they'll come back and resage the house. And I mean, maybe I could have this done on a regular basis or something, I don't know. But anyways, I feel much better about it. So I just thought I'd let you know that that did have a good turnout. Kind of bad because it was somebody who's mad at me, but good because now they're gone and they could be mad at me someplace else. So, anyways, that's my story. Have a good day, and I'll talk to you again. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But anyways, have a good one. Bye.
Do you think we're ever going to live in a place and time where people that go and cleanse houses on like a service interval is going to exist? Like carpet cleaners or something like that?
Maybe. I don't know.
I just wonder, as people, because, you know, just the whole concept of cleansing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was super aware of how all this worked, you know, when I was a kid, but, you know, I don't remember ever hearing about things like that even happening. Now it's just seems like a very common thing for anyone who's paranormally effective. Like, well, have you considered cleansing it? Or
yeah.
Beyond, like, the priests coming out.
I think it may stay more of a DIY thing, where, like, if you don't do it yourself, you've got, like, an uncle or a buddy that does it.
Yeah.
I don't see it becoming a real advertised service kind of thing. Because, honestly, it may be hard to, you know, to prove that it actually works.
Sure.
People may be suspicious that you're just trying to gain access to their home.
True.
So...
So you don't see it being like something that ServPro ends up offering along with like mold and flood restoration. It's
I think you would have a hard time making a go of it as a business.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
It's interesting how it's just evolved. Mm-hmm. and how open people are to it now, which is great. It just makes me think about things like that.
But say you went and you cleansed something for somebody and then you just stirred it up, made it really bad. You're not going to get positive reviews on your website.
Which could happen.
Yeah.
Luckily, it turned out good.
Yeah, it did. It did.
In this case, but it was the friend who did it. Mm-hmm. So there's no Yelp for
right
the friend. I mean, I imagine, and there's really no, even if you are the best cleanser around, if you're really, really good at it and you have the best of intentions, if you're going against something that is really not going to be cleansed, and there are those situations, there's no winning there.
Right.
Yeah. Is there any other comments you wanted to make about that story?
I was just going to say, I kind of wondered if she was having somebody else's dreams of something that happened to somebody else, either in the home or maybe somebody that angry spirit had a connection to somehow.
Especially where you have the kids that don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Where it, you know, things like that are very vivid.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're suddenly like, and it's real to you in your dream, and it's almost like, well, this has always existed and it's just the norm. That's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a dream like that where there's like somebody in it or something in it that's just the norm? Like, this is just how it is and it's always been like this. And then you wake up and you're like, what the hell?
I always have weird dreams. So I wake up thinking, you know, that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I can't really say, oh yeah, there's one that sticks out. No.
Sure. Sure. I don't have anything specific, but I have had things like that where I wake up and it's like, oh, I was just talking with my friend. And it's like this, and you wake up, you're like, I don't, that friend doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this friend, like, or thought of, it's like, where, and then you kind of like think, well, is this based off of like a childhood friend or something?
Or past life.
Yeah. It's like, well, where did this come from? And it is weird. And what I'm getting at is just how strange that perspective can be in a dream where it's just, you're just going along. It's like, yeah, everything's, this is how it is. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. like there's a whole history and background to certain things or people or places in some dreams that just seems normal and clear as day in that dream. And then you wake up and it's like, where did that background even come from? Why did I feel so comfortable with it? Because this clearly wasn't there.
Yeah.
Or was it? You know, that's the weird thing. Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Chelsea. I'm from Maryland, currently living in Florida. But I've got a couple short stories I want to tell you guys. The one actually involves me. Well, they both involve me, but one actually happened to me and the other one happened to, well, in a house that we lived in, but it happened to my mom's second husband who was living with us at the time. But that one, I guess I'll start with, it kind of, I think, has to do with my mom. I think she's a little sensitive because she's always been into the paranormal and things usually just happen around her. But like when she, growing up, she grew up in Cumberland, Maryland, and it's like one of the oldest towns in Maryland. But she worked at a really old church and the offices were located beneath the church itself. And she worked with documents and I think she did some of their financial stuff. But she would tell me growing up that as she would leave for the night, she'd be the last one leave and she'd go to lock up and lights or machinery would turn back on. But anyway, so this story takes place, I think I was eight or nine, I think. Maybe seven. But she had just separated from her second husband, and so we moved to Y Mills in Maryland, which is also another old town, and the apartment that we rented was a part of, there were two apartments, two-story apartments in this building. It had been converted, the owner told us. I think they said it was a tavern at one point, like back in the old days. There was a one-room schoolhouse that was located right next to it, and the oldest oak tree in Maryland was located right outside of this, right in between this apartment building and the old schoolhouse. It's gone now. It got knocked down in a storm, but it was like over 200 years old. So we move into this apartment and it was updated, but it still had like a really old feel to it. It had two bedrooms upstairs with a connecting bathroom, attic in the middle at the top of the staircase. And then my room, I don't think it was technically supposed to be a bedroom, but we turned it into one. It had a bathroom and the back door was located in my room and the basement door. So fun for Chelsea. So at the foot of my bed was the basement door, which was fun. The basement, I did not like it. It was lined with bricks, and I think there was one window. And the staircase was one of those ones where it's just the wooden slabs, and you can see through the staircase when you're looking at it, you know, straight on, and it was just completely black under there. And I was always, you know, as a kid, you're always afraid that something's going to reach through and grab your leg as you're walking up it. But the feeling in the house was fine until my mom decided to give it another go with her second husband. So when he moved in is when the energy in the house just, it went bad, because he was just not a nice guy. I'd be sitting on the couch watching TV, and our dog, Scout, would lean up against my leg and stare into an empty corner and growl. just growl, and he was not happy. And there was one time my stepdad, at the time, woke up in the middle of the night and walked out to the front porch to have a smoke. And he looked down to light the cigarette and was looking at the ground for a minute, looked up, and there was a woman walking away from him. She maybe was at the foot of the driveway almost by the time he saw her. And he said she was dressed in old clothes, late 1700s maybe. She was carrying two pails of water and walking away from him. And he said when she got to the road, she turned around, looked at him, and disappeared. And I didn't hear this story until after we moved out, thankfully, because I was freaked out enough as it was. But I never liked to look at the old schoolhouse next door, ever. Every time I looked at it, I got a bad feeling. So I don't know if anything happened there, but that's that story. And the one that happened to me personally was last year. I was falling asleep. I was almost asleep, and I hear Chelsea yelled right into my ear, and it jolts me awake. And I look around. My boyfriend is not in the room. He was out in the living room watching TV, and you know, it was just before we got our Australian Shepherd. And I say this because she, any little noise, she flips out. And even if we don't hear the noise, she flips out. And I think this dog sees things that we don't. But anyway, I get out of bed and I go out to the living room and I'm like, "Did you call me?" And my boyfriend says, "No." I'm like, somebody just yelled my name. He's like, "I didn't hear anything." And I mean, it might have been a dream, but I don't remember a dream going along with the yelling. So I don't really know what it was. It hasn't happened since we got our dog, though. So that's why I mentioned her. I think she's got something to do with I don't know. It hasn't happened since. Sorry if I have rambled a bit. I'm nervous. This is my first time calling in or sending in the file. I'm really interested in becoming an EPP member, but I am a wimp. So I'm kind of a masochist to listening to all the stories, but I'm probably going to end up doing it anyway. But I hope to... Well, I will probably call in with more, but I hope that they don't personally happen to me. I enjoy listening to your guys' podcast. It really does help the day go by a lot faster. Thanks for what you do.
Bye. I think that's the first time somebody's used the excuse that they're a wimp to not become an EPP.
I understand.
I get it. But
they certainly have some of we certainly have some of the best stories on the EPP episodes. If you're into this, you'd certainly enjoy it. What do you think about the dog?
I wonder if the dog's serving as some kind of level of protection.
I've never really thought of it that way.
I thought cats could do that, but I didn't know about dogs.
I never really thought of any pet actually like warding off the ghost.
Mm-hmm. They say cats can ward off evil spirits sometimes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Have we had that on the show?
I think we've talked about it.
Have we? Mm-hmm. Okay, there's so many things we've talked about I don't remember. Uh-huh. But yeah, that's an interesting thought where something like that can keep something at bay. I suppose it is a possibility.
Yeah.
As almost anything seems to be here. But interesting story. Thank you for calling or thank you for recording that on your device and sharing that with us on today's episode. One more call here before we wrap up for today. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony. Chris from Central Florida. I just discovered your show not too long ago. So if there is a podcast about this, I'm sure I'll find it. I've had a couple of dreams lately about airplanes crashing, and I've done my research online. It supposedly means you're stressed. I don't really feel like I'm stressed, though, knock on wood. I remember one I had the other night. It was like my old backyard, kind of. My mother's out there. I'm out there. This little plane is kind of just hovering. It's slowly trying to move. All of a sudden, goes down, explosion. I remember shouting, oh my God. My mother shouted, oh my God. Of course, I try to run to it and I never get there. That's all I can really remember. Normally, I don't remember my dreams once I wake up, but this next one was so vivid, and what happened after is why I'm sharing it. I can remember again kind of being outside somebody's yard, a couple of family members of an insanely large plane, like big, probably a plane so large it doesn't exist nowadays. I remember it flying over above very low. And I remember it crashing about 30 seconds later. I see the explosion. I'm in a panic. I try to run, of course, towards it, and I can never find it. The whole time I'm running, I'm panicked. But also, too, when it crashed, like I just felt like vibration through my body. Like, it's the first time in a dream I've ever really heard or felt a sound. So, I don't know. Not saying there's anything paranormal to it, but it's definitely interesting. It'd be cool to hear your take on that. It was so vivid. One of the most vivid dreams I ever had. I can remember running through an alley, see these trees and fence and a plane. I mean, if I could sketch, I would sketch it all. It's that vivid. But anyway, thanks for the show, guys. And you have a listener forever. Thank you.
That's hard to know if it is possibly some sort of premonition or vision of something that's happened in the past. If it's not something you can say, oh, that's a lot like something that happened here or anything, to kind of even know a direction to go for researching it.
Sure.
And it may not even be anything. It may just be a nightmare.
Which it very well could be. You know, we've heard stories before where somebody's like, I had a dream about, you know, X tragedy, and it had nothing to do with them personally. There was like no personal connection. But then like 2 days later, the very same plane, just for example, from their dream, you know, mm-hmm. with, you know, detailed, like that was the number, that was where it happened in my dream. And I just thought it was a dream, and then it happened. But when you know, people have nightmares, people have horrible dreams all the time. You know, even if you are convinced that you had a vision of some sort of something horrible happening, there's not a whole lot you can really do about it unless it's something that you physically are, you know, able to go, oh, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
You know, you have to wonder how often do things like airlines or things like anything where it's like a mass transit thing where tragedy can happen. Mm-hmm. How often do they get calls from people or somebody saying, I really feel like this is going to happen or that's going to happen? And that, you know, it probably is almost taken as a threat.
Yeah, I was going to say probably not as often as maybe it used to.
Sure.
People might have felt more, you know, at liberty to call and say something like that. Yeah. But now, you know, you say the wrong word.
Yeah.
And it's a threat.
I don't think it's met with, that's so, thank you for that. I think the Secret Service or FBI or whatever shows up at your doorstep, like mm-hmm. going, how do you know about this? What do you know?
And I don't think somebody that has the ability to do that necessarily wants to get on anybody's radar.
No, I agree. And I don't think you really can. It would be a horrible, I'm sure in some ways, if you're getting positivity out of it, it can be a blessing and it can be a curse at the same time if you're just picking up everything.
Yeah.
You know? Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please become an EPP, extra podcast person. You get access to every single bonus episode that we have up on the EPP website, ghostpodcast.com. You can even sign up through Patreon as well. That option is there. You just click on it at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.